Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Jenkins Church, as it is, an empty sanctuary mostly, but that doesn't matter because we're still worshiping God today. I'm glad you're here with us. If you're on Facebook, if you're on YouTube, either one, thank you so much for being here. If one flakes out, you can go to the other. So we got multiple ways to view the service today, and I can't wait for you to be a part of it. I want to say some quick thank yous. The first one is to James. James has worked on that piece all week long and to present it today and to give it to the offering of the Lord. And we thank James for that. We thank Philip and we thank Wes. Wes has joined. Wes learned to play bass about Wednesday and had his first gig on Sunday morning. So not too shabby. So we thank Wes for being here. I also want to thank Gary and Dave for their tireless work in getting all the technology ready. And also Ethan Carlson. Ethan, Toby and Jim's son came up yesterday and helped us with some lighting so that it would look better. And I just want to thank everybody for their ministry in this time so that we can put on a worship service for you wherever you are. So thank you for being here. Thank you so much for taking your morning and worshiping the Lord. If you want to right now, you can go ahead and start submitting some names for the prayers of the people. If you have anybody that you need to be in prayer for, list it in the comment section of either your YouTube video or your Facebook live stream, because we'd love to have those names and we'll lift those up in prayer time as well. And of course, be in prayer for Jonesboro, Arkansas, as they dealt with what we dealt with just a few weeks ago in a tornado yesterday. So, but start putting your names in for your prayer time in the next few minutes if you want to, and we'll pray for those as we get to it in the worship service. The first thing I want to do this morning, though, is read to you from Psalm 95, 1 through 7. And this is our call to worship. It reads this way. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we came here to worship this morning. We logged on to our computers. We fired up our iPads. We brought up our cell phones. We did whatever we could because we're going to worship You this morning. We are here because we are worshipers. And so, God, we thank You for this time. Even as we're separate, we thank You that somehow we are together because we can't be separated by distance. It's not the internet that keeps us together either. It is You. So we invoke Your name in this time. Allow this to be a time where we lift up Your name together, where we sing songs together, where we pray together, where we worry about one another together, where we hear the Word together. We ask You, Lord, to endorse this time, bless this time, and allow it to be worshipful in Your name, because we know at the end of the day, You are the one that is in control of all things. So we ask You, God, to bless this time together, wherever we are in this world, wherever we are on the internet, wherever we are at all, we ask for Your blessings so that we may worship You. We ask these things, Lord, because You are God, You are the one we worship, and it is the Son's name we pray. God's people said, amen. I ask that you join in song with James and Philip and Wes as they have our first song this morning.
Also, to add on to his sending in stuff, if there's something you want to hear during this time, please let us know. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how You gently lift me when I am surrounded. Your love carries me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, You're gonna make me sing. Hallelujah, 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 You're gonna make me sing. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising. All the joy that's flowing deep inside of me. Every time I see You, All your goodness shines through, and I feel this God song rising up in me. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing hallelujah, sings hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is amazing, and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. And I sing hallelujah, oh hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing, sings hallelujah, oh hallelujah. Hallelujah, your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing, sings hallelujah, sings hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing.
Praise God. Amen, church. If you believe God is amazing, hit amen on your messages there. I'd love to have your response. We go to God in prayer now because of Ephesians 6:18. The scripture reads this way: pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. While they were singing, I went and picked up a couple of the prayer requests. I may have not gotten all of them if they come in the last couple of maybe minute or so, but I wanted to pray for these that have come in as we pray to the Lord. Will you again join me in prayers of the people? Lord, we thank you this morning that we are together. We thank you that we have come together in this way. We know right now there are 60, 70, 80 people, we don't know, watching this service right now. And we thank you, God, for that, because we know that we need to be together in the worship of you. We also know, Lord, we need to be together in praying for one another. And these names were sent in, and we want to pray over them, Lord. Michael Habegger, and he starts work tomorrow. And we ask, Lord, for your protection for him. Amy and Josh Williams, Lord, we ask for their protection. They're working in New York hospitals right now. And we need, Lord, to protect all those folks who are on the front lines of dealing with this deadly, deadly disease. We pray for Melanie Sisson, for Alex Monday, for David Morton. We pray, Lord, for Mary Floyd. We ask you, Lord, to bless her in the midst of her treatments. For the family of Malcolm Petty. For C.D. Sandrock, I believe I'm saying that alone, Lord, but he's alone in a nursing home, in a place where he needs care. He's alone there without family, without friends being able to come to see him, and we ask blessings on them. And Lord, we ask praise and prayers for Sarah Dennis. I believe this is the Sarah Dennis I know, and she's such a wonderful young woman, Lord, and we ask that you pray for her in this, or that you bless her in this time as we lift her up in prayer. And Lord, we ask all these things because we know we need to come to you with these. You've told us in the scriptures, come to you and talk to you and pray to you about these things and allow our burdens to be lifted as you take control of these situations. And so we hand these over to you, Lord, in each of these that we mentioned, in those that we haven't been able to mention because we didn't see them in time, and for all of those that we didn't mention because we just can't say those words of the ones we need prayer for. We ask, Lord, that you show your mercy and your grace. We ask these things as we pray the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to read another bit of scripture to you. As we actually not read scripture, I want to talk to you for a moment about the time of offering. Maybe the first, arguably, the first act of offering in Scripture was that when Abel gave his offering. It was a response to God. He gave of his best because it needed to be given. He felt a draw to do that. He wanted to give the first fruits and the best of his stuff, his produce to the Lord. And so we recognize in Scripture then that the offering has always been important. It's always been a natural response to what God does for us. And so we want to talk about that for just a moment. There are some today who are having a harder time giving, and we recognize that. The economy has gotten a little bit weird because of everything going on. But there are also those of us who can give. And I'm going to ask those who can give in this time to make sure that you are offering to the Lord. If you're not offering money, there are so many things to offer as well. You can offer your time, your talents, whatever it is to the Lord. And then there are some of us who need to give of our money to the Lord. So I'm going to encourage us to do that. We are doing fantastic ministry out of this church. That's one of the things that drew me to this church, is knowing that we do wonderful, wonderful ministry out of here. And so we need to continue contributing to that and offering to that so that we may do the Lord's work. So if you can give, I'm going to ask you to give to P.O. Box 518. That's Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church's P.O. Box. Have it sent there so it's nice and safe and secure. Send it there, and we'll accept those offerings. We'll pray over them, and we'll make sure that we honor those offerings. So you can do it through P.O. Box 518, Nolensville, Tennessee, 37135. Also, in the next few days, it's not quite ready yet, but we're getting very close. In the next few days, we'll have online giving set up. We have it set up. We're just having it made sure that the organizations are prepared to accept those offerings. Those will be listed on the website. You'll be doing it through PayPal, and then there's another process that we can give to you. Be watching for that. There's going to be some emails come out, or some mailings come out about it, and some other ways for you to take notice. But just know that we need to continue giving our offerings so the church can continue doing the work of Christ. We ask you to do these things because it's so very important for us to continue doing God's work in every way we can. And I thank you for that. As last week, I want to recognize that I'm giving my offering. I'm giving a tithe and a half because we can right now. And I ask that if you can, maybe you can too, to help someone else out. So God bless you and thank you for that. I want to read now some scripture. It comes from Mark 13, 24 through 37. And it reads this way. At that time, after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give to light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send out his angels to gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know the summer is near. In the same way, when you see all the things taking place, you can know that his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, the generation will not pass from the scene before all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard. Stay alert. The coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each of his slaves instructions about the work they were to do, and he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return. You too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return, in the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. I say to you what I say to everyone. Watch for him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Do you know what I never want to miss? I don't want to miss seeing God when God shows up in this world. I don't ever want to miss that. If God's own presence shows up anywhere that I can see, I don't want to be asleep. I want to be awake, and I want to see every single moment. I guess anybody tuning in right now believes in an alive and an active God in this world. who's doing good every day. I hope you do believe in that. If you don't, let me show you a God who does. But those of us who believe, we don't believe that God made this world and then somehow became some absentee landlord. We believe that God is doing and being and showing up and showing out all the time. If you believe that, amen in the comments again. I would love to see it later. Y'all, if I see a sunset, I believe God painted it. If I hear a song, I believe God made the voices who can sing along. If I see an act of generosity, I believe it's God's goodness flowing out of the one that was so kind. And I want to see that every single time it happens. I don't want to miss once. Do you? Let me go at it like this. Come along with me. I don't ever, ever, not once ever, want to miss seeing grace when grace is being shown. Grace is too awesome to miss. Grace is when someone loves somebody else even more than they love themselves. And I don't want to miss grace when it appears from heaven no different than manna. Grace sustains us. It keeps us afloat. Do you ever want to miss even a little bit of grace if it shows up? No. No, we don't. Do you ever want to see love? Do you ever want to miss seeing love? And I mean real love, where we regard others as much as we regard ourselves. Jesus said it's easy to love those who love us, and I'm not talking about that kind of love. I'm talking about the kind that recognizes that whoever you are a child of God, and I am your brother. You're my sister. We are created the same, both in the image of God. That's what love is. It's when you know and I know that we are exactly the same, God's children, and we love each other. Do you ever want to miss when love shows up? What about mercy? Do you ever want to miss seeing it anywhere it can be seen? I don't want to miss mercy because mercy costs so much that a cross had to pay for it, you know? Mercy is beautiful. It's what happens when we deserve one thing, but something gives us something else instead. That's mercy. Mercy is the thumbs up when we could have gotten the thumbs down. Mercy is what happens when we don't treat each other out of our sinfulness, our pride, our jealousy, our lusts, our bigotries, but instead lift somebody else up and never push them down. Mercy is when somebody wants to hurt somebody but heals them instead. Mercy. Where forgiveness silences retribution, do you ever want to see mercy? What about when someone sacrifices themselves for someone else? I don't ever want to miss seeing that either. I mean, if someone truly sacrifices for someone else, that's a Jesus thing, right? And I don't want to, and I don't mean sacrifices for things that they shouldn't sacrifice themselves more. There are plenty of sacrifices that people make that aren't worth it. Look, for anyone who fought for the wrong cause, it's the improper sacrifice. What I mean is a sacrifice like these doctors and nurses are making these days. Y'all, we need to be praying and supporting these folks on the front lines of this illness. They are doing what they are doing without the equipment to do it. If y'all aren't praying for those people, why not? I talked to Elder Alan Smith the other day. His wife, Barb, is a respiratory therapist in Nashville. There's no one more essential than her right now, you know? She'll be sacrificing, and we don't want to miss that. She and so many others will sacrifice by not staying in the comfort of their home. She and so many others will sacrifice by having to be the ones who see the gruesomeness of what this illness will cause. They are the ones who see the worst. They'll carry the load for us. They'll bear that cross so that we might live. And I don't want to miss that sacrifice. I want to see it. I want to see it when people care enough that they'll put us on their shoulders and carry us and take the brunt of it as long as the rest of us are okay. I don't want to ever miss that kind of sacrifice. I don't want to turn a blind eye away from someone who cares so deeply for somebody else. It's too beautiful to miss, and I don't want to. Do you ever want to miss something that's good? I mean, really, really good? What would we look at if we didn't look at that? What about something or someone or some instance that's just kind? Dare we ignore that for something else? What about when someone is right? And I mean right is right, right? When something is right and good and it's from God, that's just the way it is. Do we ever, ever want to miss that? No? Well, what about when someone is right and we'd prefer they not be right at all? Do we always want to see right then? What would we not give up to see right? If you had to give up something to see something was right, is there anything that would just cost too much? Could we throw our pride away? Could we throw our side away if it meant we saw something that was right in God's eyes? Would we dare change our beliefs, our politics, our views, our worldview if it suddenly meant that we finally saw something of God that we have never, ever seen before? Will we see right when we don't want to be right at all? What of justice, of righteousness, of the least of these becoming the greatest of these, of patience, of goodness, of blessings for those who mourn, or of blessings for the meek? What of the poor? Would we ever dare miss any of those blessings when someone received it from God? I'm just asking, will we keep our eyes open? Because I don't want to miss God, not once ever, and especially not in these days. I don't want to miss God right now. If God shows up, we need to see. But you know, it's so hard. Sometimes I'd rather sleep than see. Sometimes I'd rather just take a nap so I don't have to deal with God. It's hard to stay awake sometimes. Naps are real and metaphorical. Both are just wonderful. Don't ask a preacher about a Sunday afternoon nap. We'll tell you all about it. When Wes got to be a teenager, he decided one day that he was going to go up and take a nap. You know how teenagers are, they sleep. And I thought it was so odd because Wes hates naps. He never liked taking a nap when he was a little boy. He hadn't taken one in years. But suddenly on this day, he was tired and he was going to go take a nap. So he went to his room and he snoozed for a while and he came back down and his eyes were all glazed over. He was sort of there and sort of not, like you are when you wake up from a nap. He said, "I was wrong about naps, Dad. They feel good." And they do, don't they? You get sleepy and you just can't keep your eyes open. You can't do what you ought to be doing, and before long you sack out. Lights out, man. Well, world goes on hold. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes a nap is just a nap. But sometimes we ought to be concentrating on something else, and we fall asleep instead. That's what Jesus said. You've been sleepy at the wheel at some point, I'm sure, haven't you? You're driving down the road, eyes getting heavy. Boy, it feels good to close those eyes just for a second, but you best not. I went deer hunting one time, and I sat in the deer stand all morning long. I didn't see anything, and so it got to be about midday, and I got antsy. You know how it is. And I decided to walk around some and just see what I could see. So I went to this ridge line, and I thought I'd walk along this ridge line and look down the hill below me to see what was down there. Well, I got tired, and I sat down just to keep watch over the little valley there. And it got warm, and I was bundled up in my cold weather clothes, and the temperature got up to be about 40 degrees, and the sun was out, and that was it, man. I leaned up against a tree, and it was lights out. I was gone. No clue how long I slept. A deer could have walked up, licked me on the nose, and took a run for it, and I wouldn't know until I was wiping deer slobber off my face. I was supposed to be watching, but it was easier to just fall asleep. It feels good to sleep. You don't have to worry about anything. You lock yourself away in your own place and you don't worry about the world for a little while. The world can go on. I'm sleeping. So here's all I'm asking. What have we closed our eyes to that we should have opened them to instead? Was there a deer in the valley that we missed? Was there a truth that was so evident we shouldn't have missed it? Was there a moment of God that we didn't see? What did we miss? Because I don't want to miss a thing. At the very end of his days, at the end of his ministry, Jesus went to Jerusalem, and the first thing he did was go up in the temple. He had some unfinished business with some folks in there, and so he went in to take a look. And while he was there, he saw an old widow woman, put in her very last coins, the last of what she had. She had nothing else, and that set Jesus off. Man, he was furious. The temple took the woman's home, Scripture says. You've read that story. It's called the widow's mite, and Jesus was real unhappy how it all turned out. So Jesus hopped up and was ready to go. The 12 followed him out, and on the way out, one of them just marveled and awed about how beautiful the temple was. The dude wouldn't shut up talking about the exquisite architecture and how the sun glinted off the stones just so brilliantly. Problem was, he was blind. They couldn't see. They were asleep to what Jesus had seen because Jesus saw that it was built on the back of these widows, and Jesus hated that. So he told his followers that this place wouldn't stand, man. It was all going to come tumbling down. This was an injustice, what these people were doing, and Jesus knew that God would judge it. It was just as simple as that. Shocked, the disciples then asked the next logical question. They asked Jesus, "So when will all this happen? Seems like a big deal, the temple falling in. We'd sort of like to know when this is going to happen." And that's when Jesus goes off with these weird words in the scripture that we read just a few moments ago. It's called the mini apocalypse in Mark, and really what it is just a promise by Jesus that God's way is going to win. That's really all Jesus was saying. Jesus said that God's going to take care of this thing. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter when. Just know that God is going to do it. And then Jesus offered up a little piece of advice. He said, rather than worrying about when, just worry about watching and not falling asleep. Don't worry about when, because if you worry about when, you won't be looking the rest of the time. Worry about staying awake. Worry about keeping your eyes open. Worry about watching for the Lord. Don't worry about when, just watch. Watch for God to show up. And that's what this story is about. It's about never missing God when God shows up. Let me say something. I'll loop back around and catch up to that. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. We're supposed to be waving palm fronds and shouting Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, and all that stuff. We won't be. The Sunday after that is Easter, and we'll not meet in here either that Sunday, I don't guess. On the Sunday when normally everybody shows up and everybody is wearing their Easter best behavior, will not be in this room. It's like somebody kind of put the Easter season on pause. But y'all, this is still Lent. This is still the season where we're supposed to open our eyes to the things that of God that we might otherwise miss. It's why you gave up something for Lent, so that it would open your eyes to that which you needed to know. Are you still preparing in Lent? Are we still getting ready to see the resurrection? Are we preparing ourselves to find God in every moment? See, this lesson by Jesus may be one we desperately need to hear in this particular Lent season. And what Jesus says is that no matter what, no matter the virus, no matter the truth, no matter the act of kindness or who it comes from, no matter your opinion on the person who receives grace and mercy, no matter your enemy nor your friend, no matter what, don't go to sleep. Keep your eyes open because the Lord is still doing things. God hasn't stopped, and we must remain awake and alert if we're going to see it. Are you awake? In this season of Lent, are you still awake and are you still looking for God? Are you looking no matter where God shows up? See, I'll just say it like this. I see a lot of blind eyes these days in the world. I see people fighting for their side. They argue because they don't want to be wrong. I see people who just soon be wrong than right so that their side wins. But I think we Christians need to remember here in Lent, as we're preparing for Easter, that the only side that matters is the one where grace abounds. Do we see it? The only side that matters is where love embraces. Do we see it? The only side that matters is where mercy comes flowing out. Do we dare see it? Do we see when truth and justice cares for the least of these? Will we watch those places where God shows up, even if it's not where we want to look at all? Do we see it? If we want to see God, we have to be watching there too. So, church, I beg of us all, let's follow Jesus' advice. In these days of all days, God's still showing up because that's what God does in this world. Hallelujah and amen. And it's our job to stay awake. That's all we got to do. Just watch and see when God shows up and then participate in it. We don't want to ever miss it, do we? James and Philip and Wes are going to sing another song for us. Wherever you are, you're at an altar. Moses made one out of a rock in the wilderness. Yours can be a bed. Your altar can be a table. It can be a couch. I ask that you bow there and pray that God's Spirit opens our eyes, because by a miracle, by God's own healing, if our eyes are opened, We can see God's goodness every time it shows up in our world. And y'all, I don't want to even miss it once. And all of God's people said, amen. Be with us in our final song. Pray where you are. Lift up the name of the Lord and pray that we all may see. Try to figure out, we had a light pop on us and scare the fire out of all of us, but that's okay. We'll replace that. Things can be fixed. I want to take a quick moment to let everybody know, if you need anything, if anything's going on in your life, if you need prayer, if you need something of sustenance, if you need food, whatever you need, if you need something, let us know. Let us know at the church. You can call me on my cell phone. You're welcome to 615-243-8938. Call anybody else in the church. They'll let us know, but we're going to help you out in any way that we can. So just know in these times, you got somebody on your side. We'll be glad to help you. Hear the benediction. Go in love. Go in joy. Go in peace. Go in grace. Stay home in mercy. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you. And all of God's people said, amen.